Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention for my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to... I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
Everybody who is listening, hello, 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 and we're back. It's Sean once again, and I am joined in studio by Jill Yapsuga.
Well, hello.
How are things, Jill?
You know, it's hot, and I'm miserable, but other than that, things are great.
Other than that, the first headline.
Hair's frizzy.
It looks good.
Constantly sticky, and gotta take 2 showers a day, but other than that, it's great.
And that's life on the Jill side.
That's life until October.
Okay. Also joining us is performer, kind person, voice actress, Martha Harms on the line from New York, New York. Welcome, Martha.
Well, hey, everyone. How's it going?
I mean, I'm great.
Thanks for having me.
I'm great. You're very welcome. We're excited. We're over here kind of bopping in our seats a little
bit. Yeah, we've talked about you having one of the best, like, names for performing.
Yeah. Can we have the professional read of the voice? Hi, I'm Martha Harms.
Martha Harms.
That's wow.
That's how you would slay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the name is almost a band name in and of itself.
You think?
Tonight. Martha Harms.
And, hey, by the way, Martha, is that an accurate read if I'm saying voice actress? Because that's not all that you do. And I feel like I don't want to limit or pigeonhole what you do.
I appreciate that. No, I love being called a voice actress. I'm honored that that's where we go. And I think that's completely accurate. But I do. I do more than just that. I also act on stages and in front of cameras and alone by myself in my room. So
that's the gateway right there, I think.
Right there.
And we're going to get to so much of that. And I'm very excited to hear all about it, about past and present and future, I hope. And I have my own selfish reason for being extra excited to be talking to you. And we will get to that soon. But is it all right if we ask for you just to give that quick snapshot of you, your work, and where everybody may have seen or heard you before today?
Absolutely. I believe, Sean, what you're referring to is I did a cool video game like years ago. I played Maya in Borderlands 2, who is the player character with the blue hair, the
She's
female.
Awesome.
And that was really what got me into voice acting. As a career, that was my role that got me in.
And it's so well done, everybody. so very well done. And I know you've done some, and unfortunately Phil couldn't be with us during the show here today, but he's a big anime fan, and you've done some work on well-known series there too. Is that right?
Yeah, I've done a ton of anime through the years. That's been a huge part of my career, and you can see all of the voices I've done. If you go to behindthevoiceactors.com, put in my name, and you can see pictures of all of the anime roles that I've played.
I'm sorry, is this like an IMDb for voice actors?
Yeah.
What is that site again?
Behindthevoiceactors.com.
www.behindthevoiceactors.com. Yeah, hey, we get to do a legitimate website. We always make them up.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing tomorrow when I'm bored.
Sean,
checking out that during the day. That's awesome.
Hold on.
I'm a legit voiceover voice.
Oh, now, that's too kind now.
You got kind of like a Seth MacFarlane kind of thing going on.
All right, we're done. I'm going
to
go lay down. I'm going to take that with me for the rest of my life. I will see everybody on the other side.
Elena, you're going to put out an album this year, right? Like a Christmas album?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you croon?
Songs to Spoil the Christmas Illusion by. and I just want to say, for everybody who's listening, and especially to Martha, that Borderlands 2 character, Maya, playing as that character that my now 5-year-old ever played a video game by herself. She saw me jumping around and shooting and firing off siren powers and all these cool things. And she was, I don't know why, she had seen me play things before. Maybe it was something about hearing the female voice come out of the player character that isn't always the case. But she wanted to pick up the controller and embody Maya and fire the gun as that character. So there was a father-daughter video game bonding empowerment moment.
That is so, so sweet. How old was she?
At the time, I think she had just turned 4.
So you're going to say two years old.
Well, like, no. But I mean, the skill level was that most of what she did was stare into the sky and just empty clips into the air while other characters were like, what are you doing?
Basically my skill level. So,
well, so, okay, there's additional bonding there. Maybe sometime we could get you to come and actually play with her. She would move into a higher level of existence.
We all would, I think. That would be a good thing.
She still thinks tonight I'm talking to Maya. Like, she thinks I'm...
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she...
Well, you are.
Thank you. But she's pretty sure that I'm talking to a character who then later will be ready to pick up and you know, fire rockets into groups of bad guys, you know. And in a sense, yes, she is. So, Martha, we have a number of questions for you just to learn more about you and what you have been and what you're going to be up to. Are you prepared to get peppered with some queries here?
That sounds awesome. Let's go for it.
Jill, you want to lead off?
Sure. So how did you actually get into voice acting?
Well, Jill, I fell in love with a sound engineer.
Wow. Girl meets engineer.
So our story begins in Dallas, Texas. It was 2011. No, I'm not gonna say it like that.
Oh, I'm already queuing up sound effects in my head. I was like, I got this.
Do it. All about sound effects. Just pro sound effects over here. My career started in Dallas, and I was doing voiceover work for Funimation, which is a big studio that does a ton of anime. We do the English dub of Japanese animes. And so I've been doing that for about a year, but then I got an audition for Borderlands 2 at their sister company, Okratron 5000. And they do all the Dragon Ball Z movies and TV shows. And the sound engineer that was working there turned out, I'd never met him. We ended up having some mutual friends, and after my audition and after I booked the role, he called me up, asked me out on a date, and we were together for about 5 years. And so I was doing the Borderlands thing, and then my agent just started sending me a ton more voiceover auditions, and he would record me at his studio. So I got to just go in and start standing in front of really expensive microphones and just doing the damn thing.
Awesome.
And that's how I got into it.
Note to self.
Right.
Fall in love with.
Yeah, I highly recommend
sound engineer.
That. Yeah, it was a really interesting way in, because I was like immediately just in the whole world. I mean, I was just immersed in it and the projects he was working on, and got to know it from his point of view and got to really understand what he does as a sound engineer. So when I would go into the room then as a voice actor, I kind of knew a lot of do's and don'ts already. It was a shortcut.
You had a leg up on everybody else.
I did.
It doesn't
really
hurt
did.
That she's quite good at what she does.
Well,
too.
Right, but that helps make you even better at what you do if you know how to do these things that makes, you know, the other people's jobs easier, because it's already perfect. So that's great.
Well, I think that dovetails into a really solid opportunity for us to get you talking about some of your work, Martha. I was wondering if you could tell us more about some of the most recent stuff you've done, and then if you're willing to talk about anything that's coming up that people can look forward to hearing and or seeing you do.
Yeah, I would love to. So funny. I've done a few recent things. I'm trying to remember what I can and can't talk about.
And what a sign of someone whose profile is on the way up is to be
seriously,
like, let me make sure I'm not violating anything major. Because I'll tell you this, Jill and I can pretty much tell you what we're going to be doing for the next several days in excruciating detail.
Days. Years.
Right. Well, I'm sorry. I can't quite mention that nap yet, but I can tell you what's happening sometime between 12 and 4. Well, yeah, whatever we're able to hear, we're eager to.
I'm like, let me tell you about what I have coming up.
Right.
How much time we get?
I did a video game recently. I did an English dub of it called Earth Defense Force.
Ooh, that sounds...
That was really fun.
Nice.
It's really a silly game. They don't take themselves seriously. You can tell there's giant insects populating the planet and you have to just kill them with guns. And it's hilarious. I have a couple roles in there. So I'm playing like a computer system. And then I'm also playing a Russian soldier. So you'll hear me be like activating missile launch in the background. And then you'll hear my Russian character, Brenda is her name, being like, we have to shoot all of the bugs or something like that. I mean, that's terrible. I can't remember.
So step one, we hear you as computer, then immediately you as Brenda firing missile.
You're going to hear my voice layered upon my voice. And the writers are typically, for these things, are just so funny and they have a great time. And it's just playtime when you get in that booth.
And is that something that's out right now that people could check out and get a hold of? Is this particular dub? Because whatever I saw on YouTube, I mean, I don't know where and when in the process, because there are a bunch of these games. So is this something that's out right now or it's coming out soon or what?
I don't know if it's out right now. That was only a couple months ago. That would be a pretty quick turnaround, I think. But the game is already done. Like, this is an interesting one for a video game because they've already, you know, it was just an English dub over existing clips and gameplay.
Now, can we tip our hands now to maybe some upcoming stuff?
Yeah, sure.
I'm eager.
I just joined the cast of Pokemon, the TV series.
What?
See, that is a big deal.
I'm super excited about it. I'm a recurring character, so you're going to hear my voice here and there. I can't tell you who I am, though, because I did sign a non-disclosure agreement for that one. Hmm. But the episodes will come out later this summer, I was told, about August.
How awesome is that?
And I'm not, neither Jill nor myself are Pokemon.
But we know. Literate.
But I mean, I know of it, but like.
It's a huge thing, though.
I know enough to know that not knowing about it is impossible.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two. Is this something? I mean, I don't know. My kid probably does know. Is this on a fixed network? Is it like Cartoon Network? Is it, where does this show up?
You can watch it. They have their own network.
The people that watch Pokemon know. They know. They're listening to this going, these idiots.
I know, but that's just it. It's a lot of our listeners, I know for a fact, are jumping up and down to figure out who she is.
Yeah.
They probably have some kind of theories or some guesses because I know we have a number that are very into this stuff.
Yeah.
So we just thrilled a lot of our listeners, Martha, just so you know.
It's very exciting.
You just caused some coffee spills.
And you said it's a recurring character, right?
It's a recurring character.
Awesome.
You're going to see my character pop up here and there. And I also got to voice one of my own Pokemon creatures. And that was the most fun. I did 6 hours in the studio a couple of weeks ago. And I basically have my own episode as this character. And it's like a day in the life.
Oh, wow.
That's so awesome.
It was such a cool exercise because the Pokemon can only speak in their name. So you guys remember, you know,
Pikachu. Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pikachu, you know, you can only say the name or parts of the name. And that is the rule. And it was so hard to remember that when we started recording. Because, you know, a rock would fall on my head and I'd want to go, nope, you know.
Yeah.
But that syllable was not in my character's name.
There's your clue, everybody. There's your clue, is that "doe" is not part of the name anywhere.
I didn't realize that, though. I guess I didn't realize that they didn't even have, like, onomatopoeias or anything.
Oh,
like.
Yeah, the Pokemon rules are rigid, Jill.
Yes.
The laws of the Pokemon are rigid.
The laws of the Pokemon.
Now, Martha, does this character have a chance of being one of those things that kids might have the toy of that character? Is that okay to ask? Is that, might we be able to catch you?
I don't know the answer to that.
I wonder.
We're going to keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Because I'm frustrated that I have not seen and been able to get a hold of a Maya figure, you know, for my own collection and my daughter's. I'm a nerd.
Which is crazy because you have other figurines, yes? Yeah,
mm-hmm, I do. And I haven't seen Maya. I will get it when I see it. But at the very least, hopefully we can get a hold of this mystery character.
Well, Martha, do you have a Maya figurine?
I do not have a Maya figurine. What I do have, I've kept some drawings that fans have given me. I've gotten fan art. Aww. And that's been the coolest thing. And people still send me things on Twitter, pictures of them in cosplay as Maya, and they always tag me on it. And I just am so honored anytime someone thinks of me and they want to share what they've done with that character with me. I just think that's so cool, and that's what we should all be doing with everything.
Well, that sure
agreed.
Would be nice. I would like some Jill and Sean figures and drawings.
That's what fans should be doing, is providing some really great.
Well, we have T-shirts.
Feedback for that.
Martha has all kinds of fans.
Be sharing
You know, we've got shirts on our show. We got one thing, Martha.
Yes.
I am curious about a dream role scenario for you. Do you have something where you're like, I have always wanted to play this, just as far as voice acting? I've wanted to try this, or I've wanted to be in this kind of game, or I want to play that kind of character. You know, because you've already done, I know, a whole lot of characters, a whole lot of projects. But if you were given that magic wand, what is Martha Harm's dream voiceover role?
I mean, there's several ways I could answer this. The most immediate thing that pops into my mind is I want to play a Disney villain.
What a great answer that is, too.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, they get to have so much fun.
That they do.
Think about that. And to make it a character that you can empathize with as well, to make it a fully fleshed out character. But, you know, when I think of the voices that stick out in my head from all the Disney movies we've watched, I mean, it's like Ursula, you know, oh my God, how much fun they must have had playing that.
Well, I remember strutting around when I was younger, trying to sound like Jafar, trying to sound like Jeremy Irons as Scar.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I fully agree. I don't know, Jill, I don't know how you're...
I thought you were going to say you were strutting around trying to sound like Ursula.
I got that in the bag. That's no
problem. Keep singing! Yeah, I'll scream that at Edie,
That's a fantastic answer.
It is.
It sounded like there might have even been more dreams. Are there more layers, more answers?
Well, to go further with this one, Disney is becoming, it's taking over Broadway quite a bit in the last years. And so, and the guy that played Jafar in the movie of Aladdin actually plays him on Broadway.
I didn't realize that.
Is that Jonathan Freeman? Is that who that was? Or is that someone else? Who, do we remember who that is?
I don't know who that is.
I'm going to recall it. Yeah, it is Jonathan Freeman.
Boom. Look at that.
That's impressive.
Fred, ladies and gentlemen. And that is not editing, citizens. That is not editing. Well, Martha, you're talking to a huge fan of the villain community in Sean Hayes. So.
True.
Yeah, so, okay, Disney's taking over Broadway, and maybe this is sort of an EGOT-type scenario you're looking for?
I'm just saying, you got to go where the work is, you know?
And you're right there. So for all of our Disney executives who are listening to the show, Martha's got a plan.
Mm-hmm. There's at least two.
I wonder. What Jill, help us paint this. What kind of character could Martha's villain be?
What do you mean, kind of
character? You're
hearing
her voice. What are you sensing? Is it a human character? Is she an evil animal?
Yeah, I'm sensing more of like a Cruella de Vil type.
So a sophisticated, wealthy
like,
side.
Unhinged. Like, just you're like something's
all,
not. She's gonna snap.
Spidery long fingers and she's, clutching,
ooh,
elbows
yeah,
and
like
long,
that.
Long limbs and
a lot of
such.
Fun. That's a lot of fun.
I just did an anime movie that they're doing with my friends at NYAV Post, and I was playing this villain in this anime movie. And she was, it was like a half man, half woman kind of Two-Face situation. Mm. So I had to play like an older woman and I would match the voice of the man who was doing it. And my direction was to go for, to find my inner Lauren Bacall warrior.
Lauren Bacall and, warriors. Girl band.
Yes.
Yeah. Girl band.
Yeah, I like it.
The Lauren Bacall warriors. It was so fun. And I totally lost my voice a little bit afterwards. And I was
sure. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
ooh.
Worth it. Just totally worth it. It was finding ways to like to do the battle cries, but as a mature Lauren Bacall And that was a new, that was totally new for me. And I told the director that, how excited I was, because this was something I'd never done before. So I think I would go in that direction with my Disney villain.
I absolutely love the fact that we opened that door and she went villain.
I think that's awesome.
That is outstanding.
So much fun.
Fine answer, Martha. Claps for you.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Oh, I hear that sound effect.
No, you stop that. So
now you have to. Now you have to.
I do. You've forced my electro decision process. We are going to take a break. Martha is kind enough to stick with us. We've got something, I don't know, it's on the heavier side to talk about in the deep dive, everybody, but we're going to try to find the light. I promise. There's a lot of news going around. We might have a fun game to take the edge off no matter what happens, but we will be back. You're not going to want to miss this because we're going to get to discuss some performer stuff with a stellar performer in Martha Harms, so don't go far.
Mamma mia! That's a spicier podcast! If you think so too, be sure to rate and review! Be sure to subscribe on iTunes too! Bon appetit!
That's French, right? We are back! With Martha Harms. Hi, Martha.
Hey, guys.
And with Jill.
Hello.
And with me. Hi. And so far, it's been a lot of fun. Martha, I hope you would say the same.
Absolutely. 100%.
And I'm not saying that we want to change that, but we've got some serious issues to talk about. And we're lucky that we have Martha here this week, because the deep dive is all about a subject that I have to believe she is well versed in. And that is performers and power. Martha, you're a performer. And I would say you're powerful. We've never been quite this close to the famous. Wouldn't you say that, Jill, as a species? We've never quite been this close with technology to the rich, the famous, the powerful.
Yes.
And those groups, the rich, the famous, the powerful, never overlapped quite so fully with us. And that's social media, increasingly celebrity-fueled political system, I would argue, has made the difference between a performer and a world leader kind of hard to spot sometimes. And their functions seem to be overlapping a bit. Now, with that said, we also have a world in which performers of every stripe are, some would say, too easy to reach by anyone with internet and a social media account, and potentially a limited amount of personal accountability. A number of celebrities have been attacked, hounded, troubled, stalked, doxxed, until they exit social media entirely. The causes for this range from doing a project that some part of a fan base doesn't like, having a personal style or a political view that some fans don't feel that they want to accept. Maybe it's being a different color, a different sex, orientation, even just being a visual that some people just don't like or respect. And it all comes against a backdrop of continuing struggles for women, for minorities, to gain the full measure of equal treatment that they deserve. Me Too headlines keep emerging. There is our landscape, Jill and Martha. Nothing heavy.
No!
And so my first question about that is to you, Martha. As a performer, what is your sense of the power that you wield as you become more and more recognizable? I mean, you talked about their fans send you art. They reach out to you. They feel connected to you. They, in some cases, have memories with their kids and you. What's your sense of your own vulnerability and the power you have as your profile rises?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't exactly know how to answer that as far as where I haven't landed on anything myself, but it is a question that I in some way ask myself every day. It is part of my job, I think, to be accessible to people so that they know I'm out there. They know I keep working. I have to have some kind of social media presence. That's how I feel. I don't think that's true for every actor in their career, but I feel like people got to see my face. I don't owe anything, you know, to anybody else who's out there, but it seems like the not dickish thing to do to just like respond to a tweet that it sent my way and check the little heart in the Instagram where someone commented, you know, that they liked the picture of me in the sound booth, you know, or they're, you know, they love this character or something. It's like, that's a cool thing. We should be able to talk to each other openly like that. But a lot of the time I leave politics out of it, when maybe if I wasn't an actor and I felt like it would just be my friends seeing me on social media and not people all across the world.
Mm-hmm.
I leave things out. I don't comment on a thing. I don't say what Robert De Niro was able to say at the Tonys, even on my tiny little, you know, my tiny platform from here in New York City. I choose to not, because I don't want that to rub people the wrong way. Is that answering the question, or is that
going down
a different path?
No, I think it speaks directly to your understanding of your responsibility. I would follow up with that, I guess, by asking if you see that there is a distinction at some level between a Robert De Niro and a Martha Harms who's not at his level yet, but his choice to use a particular platform. Do you sort of disagree with what he did? Do you think there's a difference between, hey, this is my brand over here, that's his over there, and I can see where his took him somewhere else that I may not have done?
That is such a good question, and it's one I've been thinking about ever since I watched the Tonys. I don't know how to answer that yet, but...
Which is fine.
I respected his decision to do that. Right. And what the question I've been asking myself is, you know, would it have been the same if it was a different politician, if it was Republican and not a liberal? Would this, you know, or is this a very personal thing? Or is this, you know, it's this situation. It's not, it is this president and it is this time and it is because of these actions and not... You know, that's, I think, those are the big questions we need to be asking ourselves.
Now, you say ourselves. There's do you mean audiences of that event? Do you think performers also? I mean, how do you mean that when you say that, you know, it's something that we need to think about?
I mean that things have been spiraling so quickly. I mean, we're living in a time of rapid change. I feel like every day it's a, well, that escalated quickly situation. You know, and like since Trump became president, it was like the blink of an eye. And then all of a sudden... there's Nazis in America. And we're like, where did that come from? And some people totally saw it coming. I was not one of those people. But we're living in a time when this is just going to start happening faster and faster and faster. And things speedball and just go. And we can't control it. And it's not as, because we are all so connected, I think words are power. They're everything. And the reason it's getting faster is because we share words in seconds, when it used to take months, or, you know, to get an idea going and perpetuated and to get that mob mentality. So I'm talking about so many things at once right now, and I wish I could be.
Well, it's like you said yourself, it's that things double and redouble, and these connected events, or rather, I got that backwards, these events do seem to spiderweb together. All these branches tend to cluster together a little bit to talk about celebrity, like I said, is to talk about powers, to talk about what the citizenry
Absolutely.
Are doing. Jill, you know, let me open this to you, because this, we've moved from opening the door into what I was going to ask about first, which is De Niro. So
yeah.
Martha has assisted the show in moving along very well. We have not met before, have we?
Take it away, Jill.
Yeah, what is your take on the what happened at the Tonys with De Niro, which I'm sure we're all vaguely aware.
Yeah.
Well, I know Martha is. I am. I expect you are. But he gave his speech.
Yeah. No, I just think
it's no longer resist. It's fuck Trump. What do you think?
Right. So what I was going to say is I just think it's funny. I agree with Martha where it did used to be like you had to drive a Conestoga wagon across the country as a celebrity to like get any sort of personal views out there, like they were hidden. And now it's just like, instead of that, it's like you can just be on national TV and just be like, F Trump. But I also think...
not a lot of Errol Flynn clips from
right,
back in the day.
Right.
Like, fuck Eisenhower or whoever.
But I also think, I think with De Niro, he was able to get... And obviously there are people who are going to be like, he shouldn't get away with this. But I think he's able to get away with it more so. We're kind of thinking about like, well, where's he at? And not necessarily comparing to Martha, but like if like Neil Patrick Harris had gone out there and said the same thing, mm-hmm. It would have been a completely different reaction, because I think De Niro is at this.
Totally agree.
De Niro is at not just the apex of like his career, but he's as an actor in America, you can't get any more. Like there's nothing else.
One
There's nowhere
say,
for him to go.
You're going to fail like De Niro. It just doesn't
right,
happen.
Right. So so he's at the point where, to an extent, almost like Trump, he's untouchable.
That, like, Meet the Fockers guy.
He can pretty much
echelon.
Say whatever he wants to say, and okay. people know what his views are and things. So he's like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm going to say this
okay.
and whatever. So I think it depends on what, if you talk about power, is it on the same level as a politician? I don't know. But in terms of power in America and the way people are viewed, he is almost equal to Trump in terms of, because they're both celebrities. And one arguably has been far more successful than the other.
In terms of accolades or nuclear weapons access?
Accolades.
Okay.
Accolades.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
So, okay. Martha, can
De Niro, does he tweet?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he just speaks out at every event that he gets a chance to.
I think he just shouts very powerfully.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting question, too, as far as the social media inhabitants. But before we go anywhere near there, Martha, I want to turn the equation a little bit, if you don't mind. And you don't have to out yourself about this if you don't want to. I will, that I am among the people who was standing and applauding at home when the De Niro thing happened.
Yeah, I was, too. I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God, he just said that.
Yes. I don't know about you. I took it as this a cathartic moment of a lot of the times, a lot of these days. I keep saying it on this show. There are some dark days right now. And sometimes a catalyst, something for us who aren't filled with headlines that are going in our favor these days. And when something like that happens, it feels cathartic, visceral. So I wanted to ask you, what about the applause and the acceptance of what he did from fans and followers? Now, it's not universal, but it was a lot of acceptance. Are we to blame, do you think, for some wedge driving when we appreciate and encourage that behavior? Or are we in the right? Are we all right to accept and enjoy that happened?
I try and turn the table, and for all of the conservative Americans out there, I don't know, would they, if they were to do something like that, if they were to say, fuck Obama, and we saw them standing and applauding, it
feels familiar, but
yeah, actually, that has happened in rallies and things, but there's just so many questions it brings up, because it's like, do we take the high road? Well, the high road's not working. Do we, and I'm not saying what De Niro did was the low road, but it touches on it. When they go high, when they go low, we go high.
It's low road adjacent.
Yeah.
It's low road adjacent, right? There's so many layers to this, though, Sean, because
I agree with you.
It's so personal, because the Trump administration, it is a new level of low. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's my fear, though. My fear is that because it is a new level of low, we have to go to a new level of low, and then, over time,
right,
everything is going to be devolved, where, we won't ever be able to get back to normal. This will
Thank
be the new normal,
that.
And people will be like,
yes.
Oh, yeah, you can just say F whoever the president is on national TV,
right,
regardless of whether they actually are terrible or we just don't like them. There's a difference,
and
that's my fear with
and existing,
something like that.
That's exactly what I was trying to say. Thank you so much for articulating that so beautifully.
Told you,
anytime.
She's good. Jill's
anytime.
Good. But it doesn't feel good when Martha compliments you, too?
Know,
Jill's
that.
Over here like, yeah, I did it. But, in parallel, as Martha also said, it does feel like a new threat, a new challenge. And sometimes it feels like we could pat ourselves on the back for being noble. It would be, what use is it to carve, I took the high road into your tombstone,
right.
So I think, again, that's why we are driving ourselves to loggerheads on this question. I can give you an off-ramp, ladies,
yes,
would you
yes,
care to
please.
Change? Let's look at another facet of this. And Jill, we'll start with you this time, and we'll move it over to Martha after you hit your home run on this question. So let's change gears to focus on fans even more, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11 in the Stranger Things series.
Who's also why was she 13, 12, 12, 13?
Something like that, yeah.
I think she's 14.
Maybe she's 14, yeah.
Okay, but she is
she's young.
On the younger side of life. And Kelly Marie Tran, who plays Rose in The Last Jedi. She will continue to play that with episode 9. They are two of the most recent celebrities, both female.
Daisy Ridley had also gotten rid of.
Okay. who they left Twitter and Instagram respectively, though, between Millie Bobby Brown and Kelly Marie Tran after fans, and I hope you hear the quotation marks that I'm putting around the word fans right now, harassed and hassled them beyond what these women deemed acceptable. They're not isolated incidents, like you just said. There was Daisy Ridley and plenty of others, Leslie Jones. It's almost always women, by the way. They can attest to how this is not unusual. So I'm wondering what, and I know this is a theme question. You've heard some of this stuff from me before, Jill. Martha's going to get a chance to answer it too. What are we to do as members of certain fandoms ourselves, as people who use social media who are, and Martha isn't the exception here. She is a performer and not just an audience member, but that's why I think that view is going to be useful. What are we supposed to do about this? You know, what, if anything, is the role of the fan for you, Jill? And then Martha, when I come to you, I'm going to be wondering what the role is of the fellow performer when all of this is happening. But Jill, as a fan of anything, what are we supposed to do about this?
I mean, I think it's the same thing you should do when you hear people making sexist comments in real life or something. You know, you call someone out on it on social media so that the person whose page it is sees that, oh, okay, that, yeah, this person's terrible, but this other person disagrees. And I know that does already happen, but some of these freaking trolls, man, there's so many of them that they do drown out everybody. And I hate to say it, but no, I don't hate to say it because it's true. It's mostly this sexist BS where they're like, I read a thing with Kelly Marie Tran where one of these people had posted a thing about like, I just miss my like straight, where are my straight white male heroes? These minorities being heroes in movies. And it's like, you know what? And women being heroes in movies. And it's just like, this feminist agenda is getting forced down my throat. It's like, okay, well, you're just a terrible person who has not caught up with the century. So I don't know what you say to them, but that would be my thing, is we need to police these people as fans to say, you don't represent the fan base. The fan base, we can have disagreements on where the story went, but calling it out, because at the end of the day, you can hide under, oh, it was the character. No, it's really because it was a woman. We need to call people out on that crap.
Now, Martha, yes. I want to tilt this your way, with an example,
I just
Martha
stood up and applauded Jill.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you didn't even have to say fuck anybody. there it is. So, Martha, John Boyega, as an example here, who plays Finn in the Star Wars, sequels, right? He was someone who stepped forward. I remember I saw, I think it was a tweet. I think he did it on a number of platforms where he said, hey, for anybody out there who is hassling someone personally because of who they are or even what they contribute, you are not a fan. That's not what you are. He stepped forward and said that. And I remember looking at that and thinking like, wow, this is also new, to Martha's point. So much of this is happening quickly. I'm not normally used to seeing other performers stepping forward and making these announcements. And Martha, I'm wondering what your take on that is and if it's representative of your view, because I want to, you know, what do you think performers should be doing when their fellow performers are being attacked? What is the responsibility, if any?
That's an excellent question as well.
Boom.
We need to hold each other accountable, and we need to stand up for each other because we do have this ability. And I'm counting myself in that group, but mind you, I'm still an artist who's still trying to book work. You know, I'm trying to make enough money to pay my rent still. You know, when you're on a contract like Star Wars, you know, there's a different status entirely.
Sure.
Regardless of that. Well, the reason I say that is that, you know, I don't want to get too political in my own social media because I need the work. Now, I don't know if that's the right stance to take, but if that turned anybody off or rubbed them the right way, I mean, that could cost me some cash that I'm trying to and reputation.
Right.
So I've been just more conservative than I probably even could be. And that's the thing. It's all escalating so quickly.
Because you are a female performer and, you know, anime, Pokemon. I mean, obviously the Pokemon stuff isn't out yet, but the anime stuff, gaming. I mean, these are big fan bases that are kind of rabid as well. I mean, these are really passionate fans. Have you experienced any trolling basically on your social media?
No, I have for some reason I have not. I feel like
well, that's good.
Man, what a relief.
I know. That's a happy ending right there.
I know. Let's stop there.
You know, fans will, you know, they want to be visible. They want to be seen. And the people that reached out to me have typically been just the sweetest. But, you know, there are, it's nothing bad, but people will unfollow me and then follow me again and then like all my photos all at once. So I see their name. So I see that they're looking at me. So, I, you know, they want a little bit of attention. And that's as far as that's gone.
Okay.
From
that's
what
not,
I can recall.
That's not bad.
No, no. But, you know, we're just going down different roads. I'm sorry to go, but...
No, let's do it.
To a different place.
Yeah.
Let's just go. Let's just drive.
Yeah, man.
But the anime world is interesting as we are in this Me Too movement of empowerment and giving women real roles to sink their teeth into and not objectifying women. And I am totally on that ship, and I am still voicing characters, though, that have giant breasts popping out of their shirts.
And there it
and
is.
That's a huge thing in the anime culture. I try and give my characters, you know, depth, and I try and do justice to the role and what the writers have given me and what the director's going with. But sometimes it just is silly sex, you know, just oozing out of the drawn buttons that are holding us. Tiny little costume together. And I think about that a lot. I think about that a lot. Is am I contributing to the greater good right now in this moment?
Which is interesting because, as you said, you've had to, like many others, thread that needle of, well, look, I have my personal beliefs. I'm not going to betray my core values, but how much do I have the luxury of starting to swing for the fences and tell people off or take these enormous stands on, well, I just want to let you know, I don't appreciate how you drew that. I mean, not everyone is in that powerful a seat.
Right.
It's also interesting.
And they do it, you know, that's the thing. I also don't want to sell anime short because there are so many wonderful stories and beautiful, beautiful scripts and the drawings, and there's so much good And really deep things out there in the genre. It's just a huge, vast world. So I don't want to sell anything short in that way. Sometimes you just need to draw a pair of boobs to get more people to watch a thing, you know?
And it's gonna probably change over time. It's probably gonna change over time. I mean, that onus is on the creator,
right?
And you know, for artists who are at that stage still of their career, like I do auto commercials, and sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh. I really don't want to do this, but it's like they're paying my bills, so got to do it. So, I mean, there's a point there, I think, for all creative people, you know, you do have to.
Hopefully it will change. And I think to bring it back around, I hope it changes because of us. I hope it changes because we hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And we say, nah, that's not cool. I think our responsibility as someone who has maybe more visibility is to just be a good person. Just don't be a shitty person. And that's hard right now in this day and age, to be a good person and also a funny person, or to be a good person and a passionate person. Or, you know, I think people can have trouble marrying the two, and things just sound mean.
Yeah.
Well, if I can do it, you guys can do it. So I can.
We're not all that great at it,
you know?
I can
tell you that much if I could get there.
Oh, gross.
I think trolls just happen. Hashtag trolls happen.
Ooh,
and I don't
good.
Think everybody is a bad person who's doing it. We have to hold each other accountable so we realize when we're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask something again. I'm going to keep the focus on you for a second, Martha. I'm just jotting down, though. Hashtag
trolls happen.
Trolls happen. Put that on
I'm
a shirt.
I'm condoning it, but the
well, no, but
way.
The idea, sure, is yeah. No. I just like the framing, and I don't want to put you in a position where you would out yourself in a way you don't want to. But I was wondering about social media presence again. Do you, and Jill, I want to get your take on this too. Is it possible? And I know Martha, you had mentioned, hey, I need some social media presence. As far as how I am branding myself, about how I feel about my relationship with fans and the fandom itself. But I want to put the question out there. Is it possible that famous figures that you know, I know, Martha, you're not describing yourself as famous, but I'm going to give you some of that because it's true, that well-known figures would be better served maybe not using social media as themselves once they reach a certain level of fame? that maybe the De Niros are right to not be on Twitter, right? That maybe alter ego accounts or this is just an alias I use so I can go on social media and interact with my friends and my family. Do you know what I mean? Or at least, okay, so I've got my professional person, Martha Harms account. But as I get more and more known, that's just going to be promotional materials. Never will I say anything political there. I've got a whole other persona that people would never even realize is me. Do you know what I'm saying by that? Should performers basically make it a practice to fully divest themselves of, quote unquote, being themselves on social media once they're known? Does that maybe avoid some of this problem? I'm not saying I'm necessarily in favor of that, but is that a smart way to do this?
No, it's not smart. I feel really strongly about that.
Good, let's hear it.
It's not, well, I'm going to try and articulate this as best I can, but no, you can't, so many people are using their visibility for good. And if we take that away, I'm thinking about the refugee crisis. I'm thinking about all the things at once, actually. It's like a big giant storm in my head right now.
And that's where we begin this. I know Alyssa Milano, is that like someone like that? Is that... Like Alyssa Milano was out there talking about crises and, hey, everybody, pay attention to this. Is that what you mean by...
Celebrities have been doing this for so long. I mean, Angelina Jolie, to go a little bit back, has been, you know, the head of these organizations and traveling the world and helping with things. You could go back to old celebrities from the 50s, I think. Movie stars have been... God, I really want to, like, delve into that world.
Twitter sucked in the 50s.
Twitter really did, but like
those Bobby Soxers couldn't tweet for nothing.
Using your celebrity status to do good in the world has always been a thing. Now, I do think you got to put your money where your mouth is when it comes to that. God, I'm just going down all the rabbit holes now, Sean. But basically,
the
biggest thing
does.
I think is no, be yourself. Yeah, this is it. That's why it's called that.
Right?
Yeah.
Blammo.
I feel like I'm being emotionally whipped around right now.
Wow.
Just don't be a shitty person. Just be a good person. I don't know, though. If shitty people are on Twitter and there's, you know, celebrities tweeting shitty things, then that sucks. And yeah, maybe we shouldn't do that. But if we're using it so much for good, then why should we silence that?
Yeah,
I agree.
But it's a wonder that I had because, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a check on how far gone things feel.
Yeah.
Right? To see how a performer might respond to this notion of maybe up stakes and pull back.
Yeah.
Jill, what's your take on that as what you've seen happening?
Well, I mean, if I reached that level, I don't know that I'd want to be on social media, period, because I also think that celebrity, once you get to that level where like you can't go anywhere, it's got to be one of the most frustrating and like frightening things. Mm-hmm. But that's also the antisocial part of me that's like, ugh, I wouldn't want to be able to not go anywhere. So like for me, I'd be like, I'm getting off of social media, or I'll have a private one. It's just for friends and family, the way I use Facebook now, like just to see what people are up to and keep in touch. But I agree that it's interesting. We have people where they do go to their social media page to see, well, what are they saying about this topic?
Right.
Some celebrities don't talk about it and they still maintain their fan base. But do they really want to talk about it and they're just holding off because they don't want to lose money? Or do they just feel like, you know what, this is just I don't really want to get involved at all. I don't know. But in terms of having like two separate accounts, I don't know. I would just have a private one and then don't have another one.
I mean, if I ever saw, you know, Martha Schmarms on Twitter going, fuck Trump, I'd be like, I hope that's her and that she had her chance to shout that virtually for herself because she deserves it too.
Really does.
I'm just saying. What's that, Martha?
No, I just... My heart's going to explode. We're so far gone.
But that's in a good way, right?
In a good way.
And I've still got more coal to shovel in the furnace here because there's one last subject to cover. May I change gears one more time?
Okay.
Giant story.
The end of the universe. No. Let's stay with Martha first on this, if you don't mind, Martha. I'm going to dive one more layer down. Chloe Dykstra. Still a relatively fresh story of how this started. She published her personal essay, Rose Colored Glasses, A Confession, on Medium. With that move, the Me Too movement and, again, the capital N, nerd culture come into, so close together. They come into as sharp a focus as ever. And it makes me wonder, as Chris Hardwick has this show pulled and these appearances at conventions are canceled and, you know, Twitter and social media are abuzz with all of this, how do we address the fact that it's outcast, that it's nerd culture, that it's these sort of, you know, traditionally, I don't know, I hate to use the word pitiful, but these sort of like, aw, nerds.
That's powerful.
Yeah, that they have grown, some part of them has grown very powerful and very angry and very bitter, and they're in the fringes. How do we address the poison in nerd culture, I guess is the real question, the toxic masculinity in nerds?
I guess what I would say first off the bat is that when I read the Chloe Dykstra article, I didn't see it that nerd culture had anything to do with it. I read it as a very important topic that we need to be talking about as part of the Me Too movement, and it is power and feelings of self-worth and how human and easy it is for us to give up power and how easy and human it is for us to just take it when it's not ours.
Hmm.
So I guess I don't mean to, I don't know how to answer the question that you posed, just because I guess I just only read the article. I didn't read anything else around it. And to me, the issue was toxic masculinity, period.
Okay. Okay. I suppose just as a corollary to what I said then, part of the issue is that, or is in the response, is in how there were a lot of people out there who said, oh my gosh, Chris Hardwick, or oh my gosh, like, you know, this is from someone who's like the king of the nerds. How could that ever? It's the very surprise that people seem to have that it could be that person, but that person's so, you know, physically unimposing, or that person is so into things that are traditionally nerdy. That's not some alpha male on steroids. That's the nerdy guy.
Yeah.
That we seem to have a blind spot until over and over again we're clobbered over the head with something terrible. I think that's really what I'm getting after there.
Yeah. No, and see, this exchange we just had, I think, was how people should be talking about it, is actually having the conversation and seeing it in different ways. So thank you for enlightening me on that.
You're welcome. Sound effect.
Yeah. Oh, that was lovely. yeah, it's, I think that's so important then. If that's what we're getting at here is the toxic masculinity within nerd culture too. It's like, nerds are people too. Like,
you know what? Yes.
Yeah.
That's so good that we're talking about it. You agree, Jill? It's
yeah.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but we have to be able to talk about it and not just see it as one way. As don't just see toxic masculinity as a very physically, so many words, as an intimidating person and human being. It could be someone that you just don't expect. It is that inherent in our culture. Jill, what do you?
Well, I think certainly in nerd culture, I mean, there was the guy who headed up, I forget the name of the company, but they're the people that do Honest Trailers. He helped found it and he got fired because he was sexually harassing people.
Really?
Yeah. And the people that do Honest Trailers had a whole like video about it a couple months ago because they were like, we had no idea and we're like in shock that this person and friend of ours was so awful behind the scenes, and it was a big thing. And I think for in that culture specifically, toxic masculinity rears its head in the sense that these are using a broad stroke here, but a lot of times it's guys who did grow up feeling like they didn't have power. They were being bullied. And now with the internet and with the explosion of nerd culture with superhero movies and all this content that everyone's soaking up, they're now having this really powerful moment where now they have all this power and they carried over a lot of that anger, and it's manifesting itself in, like what Martha said, you know, if someone gets to a point where they're dealing with their own thing and they're allowing power to be taken from them, these are the people that are like, I'm taking it. And, you know, your mental health or emotional well-being is not, I don't care. because all I care about is that, yeah, all I care about now is, like, I'm the cool person now. Like, look at how cool I am. Look at how much power I have.
Right.
And the other people's feelings and the fact that they have feelings doesn't matter. And that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. I mean, Jill, everything that you're saying just ties right into all of the school shootings that we're seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is connected in this way. And so my head spins at these issues because it's like, well, there's so many levels we could talk about it on. There's
absolutely
so many layers to this onion.
My thoughts turn toward the incels and to all of that anger and the and the Jordan Peterson stuff and all of that.
But today.
Right. Time is the fire in which we burn. So we'll have to leave the heavy stuff for now, I think. It's just that.
I just want to say, with the Chloe Dykstra things, I think her essay was beautifully written. I think
absolutely
it's so important that we hear that story and that women who also have found themselves in situations like that, it is a tale as old as time. And I think it's an important one that we tell and we share and we understand. So I just applaud her for putting that out.
Well,
and it was
said.
Really a good article. If anyone out there has not read it yet, it's not that long. It'll take you less than 10 minutes to read. I encourage you to do so. Men, women, and just everybody to have a perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, we do have to ask that a lot of that learning and growing happens outside of the show because we only have so much time to guide everyone through these issues.
As,
to quote Martha Harms, so many words, right?
Right.
There's so much to say here.
Right.
That's going on my tombstone.
That's right. See?
So many words.
So many words.
So much to say.
And also, you know, so many sensitive, tough topics. So I'm thinking that not just for us, but for the listeners too, for the citizens out there, we could probably use some fun.
Yeah.
Before we cut on this act.
Definitely.
All right.
Anybody else here like fun?
No.
I do.
Thank you. That's Jill. You're overruled. You're outvoted. So, how about a game? How about a game, everybody? All right. Let's play. Let's take some power responsibly for ourselves. Okay. And let's play some revisionist history fun and get back at a complacent news media. We've left them alone for the most part today by playing Rewrite That Headline.
Woo!
There's really fun music going on.
Yeah.
You have no idea how fun it is.
I'm dancing over here.
The rules, ladies, are very simple. Martha, Jill, you'll take turns. I'll present each of you with a real-life headline from a major media outlet and just a bit of context in case anybody isn't very familiar with the story. Your job will be to take the lackluster or maybe it's misleading headline and fix it so that it's direct, so that it's true, so that it cuts just the right way you want it to. And that I just made that rhyme up. I just did that.
Nice.
Woo. So since we are the writers, we are the music makers, we are the editors in chief on this side. If you decide to go vulgar, great.
Yeah.
If you decide to curse, fantastic. Just make the headline accurate above all else. Okay. No holds barred.
Got it.
Are you ready to play?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's fix that headline. All right, Jill, you are up first.
Okay.
A Texas police officer decided to brighten the day of a very sick young boy, visiting the lad whilst dressed like a certain Kryptonian superhero. The New York Daily News wrote, "Dallas police officer dresses up as Superman to surprise Illinois boy with cancer." Please fix that headline, Jill. Dallas police officer dresses up as Superman to surprise Illinois boy with cancer.
Superhero cop brightens day of child with cancer, but doesn't actually cure cancer.
All right. I like your sub-headline, Jill. That is outstanding. Martha, are you ready for your first crack at this?
Shoot.
Okay. We're going to get a little darker here so that you can turn this even lighter. You ready? A New York Times article about the president favoring and tilting the economic odds toward dying archaic industries like coal, despite clear signs that those are doomed industries against things like AI, The headline reads, Trump picks economic winners, guided by nostalgia. Fix that headline, Martha.
Trump picks
economic winners, guided by nostalgia.
Ooh. Famous rich white boy. gets his way yet again.
Excellent. Famous rich white boy gets his way yet again.
I mean, that's a headline for
Evergreen.
Story.
Evergreen. Evergreen. All right, Jill, are you ready?
Yes.
Right fielder and former Baltimore Orioles player LJ Hoes, H-O-E-S, took an optimistic view of his new career prospects following a trade to the Houston Astros. MLB.com reports, Hoes embracing new chance in Houston.
Yeah. Hoes in a new area code.
At the very least, we've spruced it up for the Hoes.
For sure. You gotta have Hoes in every area code.
That's right. That's right.
This is true.
Focus on the Hoes for crying out loud. Okay, Martha, you ready?
I'm ready.
Despite on-the-record comments from the president, the attorney general, and the president's top immigration advisor acknowledging its government policy, something else comes from the Department of Homeland Security. NPR's headline in current events issue, quote, we do not have a policy of separating families, DHS head says, contradicting policy. Fix that headline.
Sorry, Martha.
lies, bullshit, not true, fuck Trump.
Woo! Wow, what a round that was. Outstanding. Outstanding. Thus far you are.
You definitely won.
Fuck. That's how I feel about this topic.
Outstanding stuff. Jill, got one or two more in you?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Here we go. That's going to be tough to beat.
I know.
Jose Luis Garcia, 62-year-old grandfather of Mexican descent and legal U.S. resident, was arrested by ICE agents outside his Southern California home in front of his granddaughter, relating to a 20-year-old misdemeanor. New York Times headline of choice, The Plucky. A legal resident, an arrest by ICE, and Father's Day in jail.
ICE says, Happy Father's Day. You're going to detainment camp.
All right.
So bad, but it's accurate.
That's true. I said true. Make it true. Now, Martha, you're going to end things here. I think I've got just the headline for you to fix.
I think this
is right in your wheelhouse from what I have heard during this episode. Are you ready?
Lay it on me, Sean.
All right. this is actually from November 2017, but it bears repeating. With the Golden Globes just months away, Forbes decided to run an interesting think piece on the lack of female empowerment showcased at this and other award ceremonies, and how things were about to take a turn for the better. The headline, The Golden Globes Need a Feminist Host This Year, and Seth Meyers Fits the Bill.
The headline is really just a gif of women laughing.
That's a good one. A visual answer.
I'm
gonna give you a visual there. I mean, I love Seth Meyers. Come on, but.
Like, I think
feminist host required, so male naturally hired.
Right. Male perfectly willing to help the ladies. Good job, Jill.
I made it rhyme.
You did. You did. I only realized
that. No credit.
I just did. So greedy.
Thanks, Martha.
Good job, Martha. Martha will be joining us as the new host of the show. Well, ladies, that was some fantastic headline reparation. I congratulate you both. I could never pick a winner between those, but I really do feel like you both belong out front in the media, fixing these garbage headlines for the rest of us. So thank you for playing Fix That Headline. And thank you, Martha, for playing along. Martha's the all-star. neither of us are measuring up to what she's accomplishing during this show.
She's a pro, man.
Stop it.
So we have one more break to do before we come back, do three for the road, and then open things up so that Martha Harms can tell us some of the projects that she might be working on, some of the things that matter most to her. Martha, you've got a little bit more time for us, please.
Yeah, okay.
All right. The arm twisting succeeded. So we'll be right back after this break. Again, just a little bit more show left, but so much fun. You'll see. Be right back.
You know Little Debbie. Well, at the Whip Around, we have little hot takes that you can find on all of our social media. Just little hot takes of our views on certain things that are coming up on the show, things on the previous show. It's just really a great way for you to see what we're up to, get some a little more depth into that week's episode. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can also email us, The Whip Around, all around, and you can get our little hot takes.
All right, and we are back for Act 3. We want to say thank you again to the gracious, the insightful Martha Harms, whose voice and wit have, they've both been delightful here today. So thank you, Martha, and for still being with us.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me and letting me talk in circles.
Well, you know, usually it's just me, so I welcome the company. It's fantastic. I don't know. I hope we have been entertaining to listen to for all involved. But now we're going to head for a three for the road. Before we do, I just want to mention to everybody, make sure to tune in throughout the entire thing here. We're going to get to the end and hear some projects and some news from Martha. Who knows? But we're going to open the door to her to let us know where we can hear her, see her, follow her work. So you just hang on until the end of three for the road. I'm such a tease. I'm such an informational tease. But first, yes, it is that time for three for the road when, at this point, just Jill and I will be going back and forth 30 seconds apiece to talk about things we didn't have time to talk about during the show, didn't quite fit with the theme of the show. We'll go back and forth to hash those things out three times apiece. When it's over, that's it for the show, except for our talking with Martha. If we get to that 30-second mark, you will hear something like this, which means it is time to stop talking already and give it over to the next person. Jill has said that she is going to be going first. So, Jill, are you ready?
Yes.
Jill, are you set?
Yes.
Jill, are you go, go, go?
Okay, so if you have a dog, pick up your poop after your dog poops on walk if you live in the city. I hate this crap, literally. I see it all the time when I'm walking Artemis, and it's like, I pick up after him, you can pick up after your dog, and when I look at the poops, they're definitely solid enough, you should be able to pick it up pretty easily. Bugs me a lot. And also make sure that you're taking water out when it's hot for your dog. Don't be an asshole.
Can you say poop again?
Poop!
All right. I spent most of the last week at the beach, so naturally I'm thinking of death and drowning. And it occurred to me I wasn't sure how best to avoid death if and when my car is submerged in water. Well, I looked it up, and number one, it turns out as many as 400 Americans die per year specifically due to drowning in their vehicles. And number two, once your car is in the water, citizens, you've got about 1 minute to do things right and live, or you are going to die. Most important thing, forget the phone, forget 911, get out through the window, and if you have electric locks on your windows or, like, electric power in the car, make sure you have a tool that can break the glass.
Morbid. All right, so, if you're an actor, you're still a citizen. It's okay for you to have political opinions. While maybe, as I said, I don't necessarily agree with De Niro's display, you know what? He still has the right to opinion because he pays taxes and he lives here and he has the right to vote. And so, you know what? I'm just so sick of people being like, stay in your lane, because guess what? You're a citizen and you can actually be intelligent on other topics aside from your chosen career.
So, yes, you're right. My tastes do run to the macabre. But guess what? People have thought like that for millennia. Witness, thanks to the scholars at medievalist.net, we have some excerpts from the founding father. I'm quoting, founding father of forensic science, Song Tzu, who lived from 1186 to 1249 AD in China. His book, The Washing Away of Wrongs, was the first clear treatise on investigating death causes and specifically pushed folks to determine if foul play was involved. FYI, according to him, and I'll back you up on this, death via suffocation or severe beating causes a serious case of urine-soaked clothes.
Speaking of death, this past weekend we came back from our walk and I watched as a vulture picked something up in the street and flew down the street and then landed on a roof and then flew off that roof without its prey. That was my roof, and it dropped a dead squirrel on my second floor roof. Always have a stick with you. That is the moral of the story, so that you can go out on your roof, or in my case, my mom did it. She was over helping me with something, and throw it off, push it off the roof, and then bag it up and throw it down in a trash can down the street.
Okay, I'm here to remind everyone, similar to what Jill said, as citizens, we're not politicians. We're not running for office, so we should not judge ourselves or our fellow citizens with the same metrics we use to judge our elected leaders. So this is a hearty and enthusiastic go fuck yourself in your condescending, tut-tutting face, writers and commentators who keep scolding us for getting happy when a non-politician is rude to the fucking fascists in charge. I'll curse if I fucking want about our swollen diaper baby president and his horde of rejected Cheesecake Factory managers. Tell them to stop being dime store tyrants, you prick.
That's how you do it.
And that's what I have to say about that.
Woo.
That's how it's done.
So that's three for the road, which I think the moral of the story is carry a big stick. It seems in every scenario, whether you're smashing windows or investigating murders or dealing with carcasses, Martha, we're not always this dark, I promise. So speaking of Martha Harms, who was patient enough to wait through our mini rants.
Yes.
That was amazing. I'm still going. Still buzzing over here, guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What can we plug for you, Martha? Where can people find you? What are you hoping to push? And, you know, how can we on the Whip Around and how can our listeners partake and help?
There's two theater companies that I want to put on the map for people that are here in New York that are all about really good stuff. One of them is called Sea Dog Theater, S-E-A, Dog Theater. And they deal with stories of alienation and reconciliation. And during their season, they do a ton of staged readings. They do a few fully produced plays. And they're growing. They're also a family. It's a husband and wife that have two young children. And they're making a theater company happen. And they're bringing people together. And I just can't say enough good things about them.
Awesome.
The other theater company I want to plug is Strange Men Theater Company. You can find both of these guys online. They Sea Dog and Strange Men. They have great websites. Strange Men Theater Company, I just did a workshop of a new play with. And hopefully that will be happening in the future at some point. But we spent 10 days doing a workshop at the Eugene O'Neill Center in Waterford, Connecticut, and it was just an incredible experience. These guys are devising very heartfelt and physical pieces, and we haven't even talked at all about theater, but that's a big part of my life as well, and so I wanted to give these guys
It's an open invite. It's an open invite, now, Martha. Come on back.
Yeah.
I also want to direct our listeners to a GoFundMe page for a man named Barry Foley. I wait tables on the weekends when I can, and one of our regulars was caught in a fire in his apartment in Long Island City. And he's the dearest man. We just love him to pieces. And he has a GoFundMe page. You can find it at GoFundMe.com/ Barry Foley's Medical and Recovery. BarryFoley.
And we will put that link in the show notes for sure.
Yeah.
Please do. Check it out. I don't know if you have anything to give, he could use it. He's doing okay right now. He was in pretty critical condition, but they took him off the ventilators after several weeks in intensive care, and he's dealing with some severe burns, and we just want him to get better so soon so he can come and have a drink with us at the bar.
Yeah, help out Barry Foley, everybody.
Barry Foley. Let's all have a drink for Barry. So he's got they're doing a fundraiser for him on Tuesday. I'm really excited about it. That's all on the website, too. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Well, I liked it. Fantastic. Yeah. it's as usual with this episode and with our interactions, a mix of light and dark and hope and challenges. We will put the links to everything Martha is talking about in the show notes. We heartily recommend everybody check out her work. Look forward to is it Pokemon Sun and Moon?
Sun and Moon.
Okay.
Pokemon Sun and Moon, and that's going to be airing, I think, in August. And you can find that at the Pokemon website. That would be, I believe, it's Pokemon.com.
Be really funny.
I can't imagine it wouldn't be.
Hysterical if it's like just some dude named Joe's site. He bought it years ago.
My name is Pokemon and it's my site.
He's not relinquishing those rights.
You know that for like a day that's going to slip through the cracks. And absolutely. Someone's going to have to rebuy that from that guy. Yeah, it's Pokemon.com.
I'm John Pokemon.
I'm John. he's going to be the next president.
You know what?
Improve.
Sure.
That's an improvement. That's an improvement.
This point.
I vote for that.
With vice president, who the fuck ever. Martha, cannot thank you enough for
Absolutely.
Giving us all the time you've given us for talking.
Thank you so much for having me.
We gave you a lot of different angles, a lot of different issues. We tried to solve a lot of the world's problems today. You were game every step of the way, and we very much appreciate it. And I'm not kidding when I say if you want to come back and talk about theater, if you want to talk about any new projects that come up between now and forever,
it is an
open invitation to please, please come back. Maybe sometime we can even have you in the studio. And we will all hoist a drink to whomever you like while you're here.
Yes.
That would be amazing. Thanks, you guys.
Absolutely.
It was really a pleasure talking to you, Jill, Sean.
Likewise,
sure. Yes, thank you for coming on.
What's cool,
too. Sharing your talents with us.
What's cool, too, is I know how jealous, like, Phil is going to be because he knows different projects that she's done.
He's going to be, you know what, what the addenda is going to be? Why don't you ask about this?
Right. What about the anime, you guys? You didn't talk enough about the anime. Again.
We'll do another one and we'll have
yes.
Phil in there. We'll
there you
Phil
go.
The game.
There you go. Yeah. Again, from everybody here at the Whip Around, we want to thank Martha. It has been exciting. We will hopefully have her back again. We will see
Thanks,
everybody. Well, never, but we will hear and talk to you next week. It's a standard episode. You'll see. Alas, you can only have so many Martha Harms episodes, much as we wish you were around all the time. But listen to us next week for more crazy, fun, and dark stories taken in a strange way. Boy, the Whip Around is just burning its way through the news, isn't it?
Yep.
So until then, we love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Be a good person. Just don't be a shitty person.